to the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everyone, to tonight's second hour of the Political Cesspool radio program. It is Saturday evening, November 28th, and we're live once again from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out over the Liberty News Radio Network to their AM-FM affiliate stations coast to coast. We're on the Internet, simulcasting, and don't forget the broadcast archives, which are available after each and every program. They date back to 2005. You can access them or listen live at thepoliticalcesspool.org. My, how many other ways can you listen to us? Satellite, you can listen to us over the phone on the Liberty Newswire. Thank you for tuning in tonight as we continue on in our journey, our odyssey, through the political cesspool this evening. Great first hour tonight as we kicked it off by reading of the George Washington Thanksgiving Day Proclamation. How has America changed since then? Keith Alexander went into another one of his excellent soliloquies by reminding us how red state Christians can obtain that elusive forgiveness from blue state liberals, particularly the Hollywood left. They can get their absolution and atonement after all. And the movie The Blind Side can tell you how to attain it if you want to read, if you want to hear more. We did a continuation, sort of a part two of our coverage that began last week on that movie. Very interesting, I think, concepts that came out during tonight's conclusion of our coverage on the movie The Blind Side. That was also covered in the first hour. We talked about some other stuff as well, not the least of which being the Political Cesspool booklet that is available now to donors of our program between now and Christmas Day, Liberalism and Its Effect on American Society. We're real excited about that. Contains basically a written version of everything we talk about on this show, and it's a very short read, but a very powerful read, and Keith Alexander spearheaded that. All that being said, I am now joined by one of my best friends in the world, Winston Smith, co-hosting with me during tonight's second hour. Winston, how are you?
I am so well, and always glad to be back on the back at the helm of the co-piloting the CSS cesspool with my good friend, my brother, James Edwards. How are you, my friend?
I am good, as you know. A great Thanksgiving. I know, in talking with you yesterday, you had a pretty decent one yourself, and it was very appropriate and timely that you mentioned that we are at the helm of the CSS cesspool, and since we are on sort of a Christmas and somewhat Confederate theme tonight, we'll be getting into a Confederate theme to tie into our coverage of Christmas, I guess, but tonight during the in a couple of segments from now, we'll be joined by Scott Goldsmith, the owner of Dixie Republic, and we are going to let you know how you can buy a gift with meaning for your little Confederate partisan loved one this year, and the great inventory there at Dixie Republic, and you're going to be excited to hear what Scott has to bring to the table when he joins us in just a little bit. Winston, and you have spent some time living in South Carolina, so you know just how great that area is, and you can't get much more.
Absolutely. What a great place. What great people. The old good South Carolinians are still there, and I just wish, I pray that the younger people would spend more time with those folks that I call the old good South Carolinians, because they have so much wisdom and they are so charming. And James, you know, every year Charleston gets voted the most polite city in America, and it's not that they're putting on a show or anything like that. It's just that's the way the Charleston people are. They're wonderful people. And by the way, James, before we get too deep into this, I did want to give a shout-out to some folks that I met the other day. I was out at dinner, and I was with a friend, and he was talking with some folks in the next table, and found out that they are red state America, like you wouldn't believe. They're salt-of-the-earth sorts of people, and I enjoyed talking with them. Their names were Don and Kelly Kearns, and I promised them I'd give them a good shout-out. So there you have it, Don and Kelly. It was my pleasure talking with you at the restaurant a couple nights ago, and I hope you're enjoying the show. I invited them to listen, and I certainly do hope they are listening. So there you have it.
Well, I'd like to welcome them to the Political Cesspool family of listeners as well, and my regards go out to you, too. I don't want to be left behind here with them.
But going back to Charleston and South Carolina, they are just Well, I spent quite a few years there. I met my wife there. My three daughters were born in South Carolina, in Charleston and in Mount Pleasant. And I miss it. I miss it intensely. I even miss the heat and the mosquitoes and all that. But when you get right down to it, Charleston people are among the best in the world, and it was my honor to be around them for so many good years of my life.
Well, we're going to be talking to another good South Carolinian tonight, that being Scott Goldsmith of Dixie Republic. And I tell you, just to know that stores like this can not only still exist in today's hostile political climate, but that they can survive and indeed thrive. And Scott's going to be talking to us about his success, what they have in stock there. I'm telling you, if you can slap a Confederate insignia on any item, they've got it. Hats, you know, clothing, books, lighters, kitchen utensils. I can't even begin to go through everything. They've got it all. And anything that you would want to buy, if you want to buy it with the Confederate flag emblazoned on it, you can get it at Dixie Republic. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Because let's face it, everybody's starting their Christmas shopping now. So-called Black Friday was yesterday. We want to drive you to a place where you can support someone who's supporting us here in the political cesspool, but supporting our cause more importantly. And that is Dixie Republic. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Winston, all that being said, I didn't intend to spend so much time opening up the second hour with such a verbose commentary, but I do want to talk a little bit about a new – we're talking about the special time of year that it is, and Christmas season, Thanksgiving, I think, starts to usher in. And, of course, as George Washington said, it's the day of Thanksgiving and prayer is a Christian holiday. Obviously, Christmas is a Christian holiday, even though Christmas is the holiday we dare not mention by name anymore, it seems. But I got to tell you, you know, I still have a lot of hope that our people can turn things around. And I have that hope because our own people are our own worst enemy. If we put our mind to doing something and reclaiming our institutions, I think it can be done. But what is saddening is that at the current moment, it seems as though if you want to add another institution to the list of institutions that have turned against us, or at least doing the bidding of the left rather than our people, you know, you would say obviously the, you know, education, you know, the institution of academia, government, obviously, media, the arts. I mean, it's so many of these things, business. So many of these institutions are working against us, and unfortunately, I think the church, the mainstream establishment church, has certainly become yet another institution that is now working against the very same Christians and the very same Europeans that carved this nation from a wilderness. And we're going to talk about that just for a few minutes before we go to the to Scott Goldsmith out there in South Carolina. But it's sad, and now there's this new Bible out, Winston, the Poverty and Justice Bible, so-called. And, you know, we talked a few months ago about a Bible that had recently come out in Europe, in Scandinavia somewhere, and it's an illustrated Bible, and when the Bible speaks of righteousness, they have a picture of Michael King, a.k.a. Martin Luther King. And this is the kind of sick, sadistic, perverted Christianity that is beginning, unfortunately, to manifest itself in too many of our churches here. And I know that, Winston, this is a very passionate issue for you.
I'm sorry, James, I didn't hear that. You broke up a bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know we're coming close on break here, but I was just saying, you know, talking about how Christianity has been perverted to, you know, and we're talking about that Bible in which an illustration of righteousness has a picture of Michael King. I know this is something that's an issue that's very passionate for you, something that you take a great deal of interest in.
Oh, I do. The numbers of Bibles that are out there and the silly-ass titles they're given and the subjects they cover, it's astounding. And just by numbers alone, but what's even more astounding is the emphases that each of these so-called Bibles, what they harp upon, their issue. And James, I call these single issue Bibles. And there are so many different kinds. I mean, today we're discussing the Poverty and Justice Bible. It sounds like something the SPLC would put out, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. And, of course, it's endorsed by Rick Warren, the man who gave the inaugural prayer at Obama's inauguration, didn't mention Jesus Christ in the prayer.
Yeah.
But, you know, but continue on.
James, there's the African-American Heritage Bible. There's the Green Bible. There's the New Testament for lesbians, gays, bi, and transgender people. And you know, these texts, they give the readers theological fiat to harp on their single issue. And James, the effect that these Bibles have is they divide the church. Now you have the Green Bibleites, and they're preaching on how we need to be environmentally aware, and how the God's mandate to subdue and the earth and replenish it and to be fruitful, multiply, how that's sinful, and we need the Green Bible to explain how to correctly take care of God's creation. And you have the African American Heritage Bible people who use their text to go about showing how terrible white people are.
Hey, Winston, hold that thought. We're going to pick it up right there when we after we take this break. Cesspool continues in a moment.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Winston was talking about the many different Bibles that are now out there, these politically correct Bibles that dare infuse the false doctrines of multiculturalism and cultural Marxism into what was supposed to be, in my opinion, at least in my thought process, our most ardent and well-defended fortress, the church. And now we see a lot of these establishment churches, I don't know if they were, whatever you want to call them, you know, contemporary churches, false churches. You know, you got them in Memphis. There's churches that you can only be a member of this church, and it's supposedly a Christian church, supposedly, if you're a gay or a lesbian. Only gays and lesbians can get in there, even though God condemns sodomy very, very, very viciously. But, Winston, continue on with what you're talking about, and then I want to take it somewhere else. But
sure.
But certainly the church has been weakened by this and many other factors.
Well, James, we have this profusion of politically correct Bibles out there, these single-issue Bibles, and yet the church is none the better for it, unless you change the definition of how the church can be improved. Now, the people who scarf up these silly books, these so-called Bibles, they're all falling into the old Marxist trap that says if we just make a better environment, or if we just have better organizations or better institutions, then we will have better people. And that's not the message of the Bible at all. The message of the Bible is first you make better people, and then you get a better world. You get better institutions. You get better organizations. These people are going about it exactly backwards. James, earlier I mentioned that these single issue Bibles, these single issue books, I don't like calling them Bibles, but they have the effect of dividing the church. You have these people who like this Bible, the Green Bible, and then they have the group that likes the African American Heritage Bible. Then you have the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Bible. And they divide the church. And James, I can't help but think, but maybe that's the point. You divide the church, and you know, what does the old saw say? Divide and conquer. These Bibles are not uniting the church. They're just, James, what they are political Bibles. These are Bibles based upon political correctness. And, you know, our man George Orwell said it best. These issues are political issues, and politics itself is a mass of lies, evasions, folly, hatred, and schizophrenia. And tell me that that's not pretty much what you see in your average, everyday Judeo-Christian church.
Well, no, yeah, they've attacked us everywhere, including a fortress that I once considered a few years ago, and you know, before I became politically aware and active, and I guess this was about a decade or more ago, that I considered to be impenetrable, the church. I mean, the church is very weak right now, and in fact, you know, I do want to say this, Winston, 10 years ago, this is just to give you a prime example, and this is something that we wrote on our blog, if you want to read along at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and not to interrupt you, Winston, but I want you to be sure to infuse the words of Robert L. Dabney in this. 10 years ago, though, conservatives, especially conservative Christians, were horrified. This was just a decade ago that Vermont had legalized something called civil unions for homosexuals. Nowadays, of course, these same folks love civil unions, and they think they're just dandy because they're not marriage, quote unquote. George Bush, for all of his pretended opposition to gay marriage, openly supported civil unions, and that was just fine with conservatives. Never mind that even the very liberal Bill Clinton had opposed civil unions when he was president just a few years before. Now, see, that's how modern conservatism works. Something that's so far out in left field that it's appalling to even ordinary liberals is just a few years later in the mainstream of conservatism. The goalposts just keep moving left, and conservatives keep adjusting their convictions and principles to follow suit. Just look at Rod Dreher. Now, this is someone we've talked about for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
He abhors same-sex marriage and has probably written about his opposition to it at least 50 times in the past year alone on his blog. But today, and this was last week, he has a post about homosexuals adopting, which he thinks is terrific. You heard me right, ladies and gentlemen. Gay marriage is terrible, but gay adoption is a great thing. Now, I have no idea, Winston, how Dreher, who is supposedly a leader of modern-day Christendom, can hold both of these positions without realizing how absurd he looks. But I do know that 10 years ago, conservatives would have been even more horrified at the thought of two homosexuals adopting and raising kids than they were at civil unions. But now it's perfectly acceptable in conservatism. It's even spun as being pro-family, which is why gay marriage is coming in the not-too-distant future, and it's why, also, that conservatism will always lose. Now, you're going to have to read on our blog. I'm not going to give away the good part of this entry, but the great 19th century Southern theologian Robert L. Dabney expressed this better than anyone ever has. And Winston, I know you're a scholar of Dabney. Talk about the kind of Christianity, the true Christianity that Dabney embodied compared to what we're talking about now that's manifesting itself in so many churches.
That extract that you quote from is from an essay that Dr. Dabney wrote called Women's Rights Women, and back then they called it women's suffrage, of course. But if you never read anything else by Dabney, you can read that essay and you can get a flavor for what kind of man he was. And if you walk away with anything other than the opinion that he was truly a prophet in the cut from the same cloth as Isaiah and Jeremiah, then you just haven't read him properly. Folks, you need to get a hold of some of the writings of Robert Louis Dabney. You need to study them intently, because it's almost like reading a truly conservative newspaper that was published today. If you want to see true conservatism, you go to Robert Louis Dabney. But what James had quoted there and what Dabney had said is exactly right. Conservatism today is nothing more than a shadow. It follows around liberalism, and which today's liberalism is nothing more than Marxism. It follows it around, and it gives an impotent whimper whenever it disagrees with something. But by and large, if conservatives today can just get a tea time with the upper echelons of Democrat leadership, they're fine. You know, they'll give a little bit of crankiness and curmudgeonliness to satisfy what they think is their base, and then they'll go out and play their golf games. They'll go to the Four Seasons restaurant there in D.C., and they'll enjoy all the trappings that come with being a federally elected official. But the fact is, folks, the conservatism that we're seeing today, the conservatism that Robert Louis Dabney warned us about, is impotent. It is lent. It is soft. It is totally ineffectual, and we're better off without it. We don't need any more of it. We're up to our eyeballs in good conservatism these days, so-called, and it's killing us. It's destroying us. It's ineffective. It's like taking cough medicine for cancer. It will do us no good.
Well, Winston, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I do want to say this little caveat. I understand and I respect and appreciate that not everyone who listens to this show, this is a show that has grown remarkably over the course of the last 5 years. Obviously, everyone that tunes in is not a Christian. And I do believe in the freedom of speech, the freedom of association, the freedom of religion. And I'm not here to preach to you. But the reason that we infuse these things into the program, these Christian-related issues, is because, first of all, we are the hosting staff. That's our religion. Our faith is Christianity. But also, I think that everyone, even those who are not Christians, would agree that Christianity has played an incredible role in the cultivation of Europe and of our people and of our ancestors. And even if you can't agree with that, you would have to agree that the last thing we need is another one of our institutions working against us, and that being the church in this case. And so for those reasons and more, we like to infuse commentary from time to time on Christian-related issues because we think it's important, right, Winston?
We do think that, James. We don't compartmentalize our lives. We don't compartmentalize our Christianity. We are not political commentators and observers when we come on the political cesspool, and then we're Christians when we go to church on the Lord's Day morning. We are what we are all the time, and to compartmentalize yourself is to put yourself in the same company as the likes of Bill Clinton, who was so adept at compartmentalizing his thinking.
Gotta take a break. Right after these messages. Gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. I tell you what, if you want to meet the hosting staff at the political cesspool, we know we're celebrities now. If you want to meet us, hang around the Orpheum Theater in late January when Jersey Boys is in town. I guarantee you, you're going to catch a glimpse of me, if not Keith. And Eddie as well. Maybe even Winston, you never know. Anyway. the moment you've all been waiting for is here. Scott Goldsmith is on the line. He is the owner of Dixie Republic. We're going to let you know, if you haven't already wasted all your money on Black Friday at Walmart, we're going to let you know where you can invest it to where you can buy some gifts with meaning. But before we bring Scott on, Winston has just a final little tidbit he wants to add to the previous segment's commentary. Winston, it's all yours.
Before we went to the break, I was talking about compartmentalizing your life, saying that you have this part of your life over here and another part of your life over there, and they don't really intermingle with each other. But once again, Robert Louis Dabney gave us a superb example of the ridiculousness of that sort of thinking. While he was a student at Hampton-Sydney College, there was a murder on the campus. There was a card game, and there was some alcohol going on and some alcohol flowing, and a young man wound up murdered. Well, back then, the court was held by the students, and the defendant in the case was being represented by a local well-known attorney, a lawyer, who was also an elder at the college church there. And when Dabney asked him how he could defend someone who was so obviously guilty of murder and still call himself an elder in the church, the attorney said, well, when I'm in court, I'm an attorney. And when I'm in church, I'm an elder. To which Dabney responded with, well, when the soul of the attorney is in hell, well, where will the soul of the elder be?
Well, they don't make them like that anymore, straight talkers, except for maybe the few of us here in the cesspool. But you're right, Winston, we should be who we are all the time, in public and private and everywhere in between. And that's something that I think we try to live by here in the cesspool. I mean, certainly we don't pull any punches on air, but we don't play characters either. Who we are on air directly mirrors and effectively mirrors who we are off the air, and that's something that I'm very proud of.
What you hear is what you get.
Said, continuing on with our celebration of the Christmas season and Christmas shopping, we wish that everyone will have a Confederate Christmas this year. That being said, I ask that you will indulge us by allowing our radio program to keep you from making the mistake of buying gifts this year that your loved ones don't want. We want you to direct you to one of our premier sponsors, that being Dixie Republic. As I said in the first hour, this is a Confederate Partisan's dream store. It's in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, a huge retail shop that contains any Southern-themed item you could possibly want to purchase as a gift, and I'm not hardly exaggerating there. Wide variety of inventory. This year, as you commence with your post-Thanksgiving shopping, consider buying a gift that will allow your family member or friend to celebrate the South and promote their Southern pride. You can order it online, have it shipped to you in plenty of time for Christmas. You can phone in your order, and to give you more information about how to do all that and to answer a few of our questions, our good friend, the owner of Dixie Republic, Mr. Scott Goldsmith. Scott, are you there? Are you with us, Scott?
Yes, I sure am, James. How you doing?
Good to hear from you, my friend. How are things in South Carolina tonight?
Yeah, we're doing fine, doing fine. I hope y'all are up in Tennessee.
Oh, you know, we're keeping the South safe and secure. no matter what state we're in, from Tennessee to South Carolina, and that is a long haul, let me tell you that. Long haul to Charleston. But anyway, Scott, before we get into what items you have there, and I think it's important. I mean, we're not sitting here hawking you because you're our friend or because you're a sponsor of this program. We don't do that. We're doing it because we believe in what you're doing, and we believe that if people are going to spend money anyway on Christmas presents, they ought to do it for something that's related to our cause. When did you open up Dixie Republic?
Well, I appreciate that, James. Yeah, we opened up about 8 years ago, and we started out a small little building. We had, probably about 800 square feet. We were on 1 acre of land, and now we're on 9 acres of land, and we've got well over 5,000 square feet. So,
excellent.
5,000 square feet of Confederate merchandise.
Well, it's something that you just have to experience yourself. You just you're going to have to come down and see us sometime.
Yeah, we're going to do that, Scott. As you well know, hopefully this coming summer. I tell you, this is kind of like going to be like going to Disneyland for me. This is something that is going to be almost like a tourist attraction. And I know you've become quite the landmark there in what do they call it? The upcountry of South Carolina.
That's right. Yeah, the upcountry of South Carolina. That's where Dixie started. We a lot of people don't realize it, but the upcountry was where we were settled by Scotch-Irish and Presbyterians, and we got everything. We got the ball rolling for South Carolina pulling out of the so-called Union.
I like the way you worded that, Scott. And what's so encouraging is that, and I said this a few moments ago, it's not that you can stay in business, although that's encouraging in and of itself, is that you do so with great deal of success. I know you run a profitable business. You're not made of money to the extent that you can operate a 5,000 square foot store just for the thrill of it. You're able to make money doing this. What's the kind of reception that you've gotten from tourists and travelers and the locals there in your area with regard to the kind of merchandise that that you have for purchase?
Well, I guess with the tourists, you know, when tourists or, you know, someone from outside the country or from outside the South, when they come to the South, they want to see Southern things. And they don't really care about going to the local Walmart. They've got one of those in their own town, so they want to see Southern things. So we stand out. We stand out rather loud on that. We have a huge 20-foot by 30-foot Garrison flag that we fly, and we have several Confederate flags that we fly out front. And when people ride by, if they're from outside the South or other parts of the South, this is what they want to see. So they pull in, most of them, I think, like what they see.
Well, I don't doubt that a bit, and I'm going to quit hogging this. I've been looking forward to this for quite a while, having you on the air, and we wanted to wait till the show after Thanksgiving, because this is when people are really getting in gear to shop for Christmas, and I'm going to let Winston speak here in a minute. But nothing gives me chills like seeing a Confederate flag. Now, I know that might sound silly. People who don't understand what Southern pride is all about or weren't born here might think that sounds a little sensational. But when I hear Dixie, now I'm a grown man. I'm 30 years old next year. I still get chills from head to toe. And that is not something that was taught to me. I think that is something that was inherently genetic. There is just something about it. I mean, my parents and my family were proud Southerners. They, you know, I had an ancestor that died in the Battle of Shiloh, but this was not something that was just beaten into me to where it was almost, you know, something that I had to say in order to be a part of the family. I mean, it wasn't that way at all. This is just something instinctively that came to me, and still I feel it. And I am willing to bet that as much as the mainstream media would like to pretend differently, you get no complaints whatsoever about your store or your flags.
Well, we really don't. I think the folks that don't like it, they just keep riding by. They don't come in, and that's fine. If they don't care, if they're not proud of who they are, where they came from, I suppose that's their business. But we draw the line on people telling us that we can't appreciate who we are and where we came from, because we do. And so that's where we draw the line on that, James.
Well, folks, if you're curious to know what this place looks like, we're talking about a 5,000-square-foot Confederate superstore, sort of like the Walmart of Confederate artifacts and memorabilia and souvenirs. If you want to see these flags, you want to see the store, go to their website. You can order from their website any of the merchandise that they have in stock. You can get it shipped. DixieRepublic.com, www.DixieRepublic.com. And I'm big on this. I'm not just saying this. You're going to buy Christmas presents. You might as well buy something that's going to mean something, that's going to be special, and it's going to support a man that supports our movement, supports our radio show, and supports Southern pride and Southern heritage. Buy from Dixie Republic this Christmas season. DixieRepublic.com. They got some pictures there. We're going to talk in the next segment about the inventory they've got so you can make your mind up about exactly what you want to buy. But before we go there, Winston, I'm going to let you talk. What can you say?
I think it's exciting. I would like to know exactly where Travelers Rest, South Carolina is. Where is it in relation to Charleston, say, or Columbia?
Well, Winston, we're up north, the northwest corner of South Carolina, and we're up near basically in the mountains. And we're about 200 miles maybe from Charleston. But Travelers Rest, we actually got our name from Antebellum times, the folks in Charleston all had summer homes in Flat Rock,
Scott,
North Carolina.
Scott, sorry to interrupt. We're going to pick up there with the history of Traveler's Rest right after this message.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Quick announcement, everybody, before we continue on with our interview with Scott Goldsmith, the owner of Dixie Republic. Remember to do all of your Christmas shopping at DixieRepublic.com. It's Thanksgiving weekend. It's a holiday weekend. We know you are still warming up that leftover turkey. Don't lie to me. I know that you are. And in light of that, I do have a little confession to make. We've got a special treat lined up for you during tonight's third hour. We've all got family in town. Family comes first. And we are going to be going to the archives and playing a taped interview during tonight's third hour. We're going to cut out of the studio just a little bit early this evening so we can spend the remainder of this holiday weekend with our family. But tonight during the third hour, coming up right after this segment, I invite you to stay tuned as we replay the interview that we conducted on August 8th of this year with Nick Griffin of the British National Party. He's the chairman of the BNP and member of European Parliament. Nick Griffin was on our show back in August. We are going to replay that tonight for our Thanksgiving weekend treat for you. And we're going to cut out, go and spend a little bit more time with the family, but we're not going to leave you abandoned. You're going to have a great, great interview to listen to. And if you haven't listened to that in a few months, you need to hear it again tonight. One of our most notable interviews of the year with Nick Griffin, and that's coming up in just a few minutes here on tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool. I
like the interview we're doing now.
No, you see, Nick Griffin is second to Scott Goldsmith. I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
You didn't give me time. You didn't give me time.
But
nevertheless, Scott, you're giving us, we're about to get to the inventory that you've got in stock. I mean, people are going to be shocked when they find out what all you've got in that 5,000-square-foot store. But before that, you were giving us a little bit of history about the city of Travelers Rest, South Carolina, which is the little hamlet in which your store is located.
Well, that's right. Yes, I was just saying that where we were located, to where Travelers Rest is located, it's right at the foot of the mountains, and it got its name from in the Antebellum South. The folks in Charleston, a lot of them had summer homes in Flat Rock, North Carolina, which is just across the border, just 10 minutes away, and they would stay overnight at Traveler's Rest and spend the night before the next morning they got up to the arduous journey up the mountain. So that's Winston had asked where Travelers Rest was located, what part of South Carolina, so I just thought I would say that.
Well, if you're ever in South Carolina, make a plan to travel through Traveler's Rest and visit Dixie Republic. That being said, Scott, you got to tell us, when people walk into your store, what can they buy? And if they go to the website, and I'm sure a lot of people already have, we sent it out in an email yesterday to the list, and we're talking about it tonight, DixieRepublic.com. When they go into your shop, when they go onto the website, what kind of merchandise are they going to have at their fingertips?
Well, it's kind of like you said earlier. It's pretty much anything that has our flag on it. We try to keep it in stock. Just anything, you know, we've got all, you know, flags from, you know, small, tiny little Confederate flags all the way up to the 20-foot by 30-foot Garrison Confederate flag. We've got all the Southern flags from all the Southern states. You know, First National, Second National, Third National, Bonnie Blue Flag. The website really doesn't do our store justice. We only have a small inkling of what we carry in the store on the website, but we do have a good bit still on the website. And one good thing about Traveler's Rest is that we're fairly centrally located. We're just 10 minutes away from the border of Western North Carolina and only about an hour and a half away from Eastern Tennessee, and we're close to North Georgia, the North Georgia Mountains. So, you know, if you are in the area, I really feel like it would be worth your trip, to your time, to take just a slight detour and come to see us.
Hey, James, well, Scott.
Yeah, go ahead, Winston.
I'm looking at the website, and Scott, you're right. I what you just described, I don't think the website really does it justice. But I was looking at some of the Confederate flags, and folks, these are stitched flags. They're not just printed. Those stars are stitched onto it. They're the real thing. And I was looking at the coffee mugs in memory of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, and those are some handsome coffee mugs. I'm going to lay hold of a couple of those as quickly as I can.
Now, Winston, don't say that. Don't be a hawk. You're going to buy something tonight, not tonight, but soon, from the website. You're going to buy something. I have your word.
Oh, yes. Why not tonight?
No, why not tonight? Why not right now? This is the marvel of modern technology, ladies and gentlemen. We can do a radio program. We can get on the Internet, and we can tell you what we see. I mean, it's all happening at once. And Winston's right. You got to check out the site. Now, it might not have everything that Scott carries there at Dixie Republic, but it's got a lot. Variety, and I mean a wide variety of T-shirts, hats, flags, as Winston mentioned, calendars, books, blankets, lighters, kitchen utensils, accessories, and much, much more, all at DixieRepublic.com. Make your Christmas shopping this year mean something. Invest your dollar in something that your loved ones will appreciate, and it's going to support the cause. You can't do better than that in having this Confederate Christmas. And, Scott, as I said, and I hate to repeat myself, but it's a point worth reiterating, this is a business that you've not just managed to eke by on. This is something, and you know, you don't have to go into any detail, but it's decently profitable. I mean, you make enough money to keep the lights on. This is a legitimate business that has quite a following.
Well, that's right. We really, really need our own institutions. We need our own schools. We need our own media, and we need our own stores too. And that's what we try to do. We've got our own bricks and mortar Pro South store where we can give our message out, and if we do well, then we can do things like supporting the great job that y'all do, that you and Winston and Keith do, and we're just honored to be able to contribute to that in our small way.
Well, you've certainly done more than contribute in a small way. You've been a great sponsor of this program, and that's not why we're having you on. I mean, we're thankful for that, but we're having you on because we reciprocate the support of what you do. And
I would like to ask a question, James, if you don't mind.
Very deservingly so. Yeah, go ahead, Winston.
Scott, have you ever had any trouble at all? Have you ever received any bad press? Has any ne'er-do-well with too much time on his hands ever written a nasty letter to the editor?
Not really, no. I'll have to say, Winston, that we haven't. It's
that just means you're surrounded by very good people.
That's right. We love this area of the South, and what we talked about earlier, the upcountry of South Carolina. It's a fine area, and I want to see the good parts about it preserved, and so that's what we're trying to do with the store, is to, you know, give us a venue to, you know, put our symbols out and to show the flag and to show people that no matter what they say about us, we're not ashamed.
Now, amen to that, and we have nothing to be ashamed about, by the way. And I know that goes without saying, but ladies and gentlemen, everyone who listens to the Political Cesspool, whether you're from the South, I mean, we have a worldwide audience, but everyone in the listening audience should own their own Confederate flag. I mean, and I mean that
Absolutely. With
all sincerity, and you can get one at DixieRepublic.com. Scott, they can also phone in their orders during regular business hours, Monday through Saturday. Y'all are open 6 days a week. Give them that telephone number for phone-in orders.
Okay, our phone toll-free number is 866-258-6844. And you can reach us, you know, toll-free. And like I say, we'd love to see you in person, you know, the listeners. And I'd love for them to come into the store and tell us that they heard about us on the Political Cesspool.
Well, I know Kyle Rogers of Charleston did just that not long ago, a good friend of mine in the CFCC. I saw him in Nashville, and he said on his way into Nashville a couple of weeks ago, he stopped by and saw you. I don't know if you were there that day.
I was, yeah, and I got to talk to Kyle, and it was a pleasure to see him. And we get people from all over. We had someone in yesterday from London, and
my goodness.
I was talking to him about Nick Griffin, and unfortunately, he said he was not in the BNP, but I tried talking a little sense into him. But
well, yeah, you can't win them all, Scott. But God bless you, my friend, and God bless your store. Ladies and gentlemen, get your Christmas shopping done the right way. Go to DixieRepublic.com, DixieRepublic.com, and they have a Facebook page as well as we do. So check them out on Facebook. And, Scott, best of luck to you. We're going to continue to work with you. And I hope you have a very profitable Christmas season.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure and honor to be able to help support y'all. The great work.
Absolutely. And, Scott, we appreciate it more than you know. Scott Goldsmith, everybody. Check him out, DixieRepublic.com. We're about out of time for the second hour, and as I mentioned just a few moments ago, we are going to be playing a tape during tonight's third hour so we can spend what's left of Thanksgiving weekend with our family. But don't worry, it's going to be a great third hour. We're going to be interviewing Nick Griffin, or we're going to be listening to the interview that we conducted with Nick Griffin just a couple of months ago, and it was one of the most notable interviews that we've conducted all year. And with that year-end review show coming up pretty quickly, we're going to get it kicked off in earnest in the next hour here on Liberty News Radio. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
The rising sun.